The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ray Allen, Ray producing and engineering our show. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program on this Tuesday, September 11th, 2018. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Our live line number is 790-2040. And of course, today is the 17th anniversary of the terror attacks on America. Joining me on the live line is Ambassador David Dunford, adjunct University of Arizona professor who had a long and distinguished U.S. Foreign Service career that included serving as the U.S. Ambassador to the Sultanate of Oman and acting ambassador to Saudi Arabia. In 2003, Ambassador Dunford worked for the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad as the senior ministerial liaison to Iraq's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He's currently working on a new book. It's tentatively titled From Sadat to Saddam, which offers a fresh perspective on the polarizing politicalization of the U.S. diplomatic service and the militarization of the U.S. foreign policy. Ambassador Dunford, always a pleasure. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. You know, they say time heals all, but I reflect back 17 years ago tonight. You and General Wickham were with me in studio over on the TV show, and I'll tell you, those memories still feel very fresh, don't they, sir?
Yes, they do. It's particularly on a day like today.
Tell me a little bit about, when it comes to the so-called war on terror, what remains the same and what really has changed?
Well, let me start with what hasn't changed. I think we still have the economic and military power to be a leader in the world. What we don't have now is a political will. What has changed, the 9/11 attack was horrific, almost 3,000 people were murdered, but it caused kind of a national nervous breakdown, and that led to a whole bunch of things, the Department of Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, the War on Terror, which brought us Guantanamo, enemy combatants, extraordinary rendition, Afghanistan, Iraq, and, you know, there's been a lot of costs. But a few Americans experience those costs directly since there's no military draft. Taxes were cut, not raised. But thousands of soldiers died. Tens of thousands were wounded. Hundreds of thousands of Afghans and Iraqis were killed. We spent trillions all on a credit card. And we're living now with ballooning deficits and debt and crumbling infrastructure, and our education and health systems are definitely not where they should be, so the costs were high.
One thing that also hasn't changed is Afghanistan and our commitment there, Ambassador.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we've been there 17 years. Now, the invasion of Afghanistan, I understood very well. The invasion of Iraq, not so much. But staying 17 years in Afghanistan puts us in the middle of what's essentially a ethnic conflict, which we're not very good at prevailing in.
And it's really unfortunate when you look at the map of what the Taliban controls. They control over 60% of the territory, and American forces don't even go into those areas. So we do not control the country by any means, do we?
No. You know, the Taliban, whatever you may think of their political agenda and views, they're Afghans. And a future political settlement in Afghanistan certainly has to involve them. And I think we're finally coming to that realization, but 17 years is a long time to come around.
You know, the working title for your book, Sadat to Saddam, A Chronicle of the Decline of American Diplomacy, I'm interested in the book recounting some of the successes along with what you say are some spectacular failures of U.S. foreign policy. Could you give us a couple of those spectacular failures?
Well, I think the invasion of Iraq was the most spectacular failure. But less dramatic, I think, is our total inability to do anything about the Arab-Israeli conflict. We had many, many opportunities, and we really just didn't seize them.
You were very much intimately involved with the post-Iraq, kind of the rebuilding, trying to rebuild that country. Reflect a little bit on some of the mistakes we might have made there.
Well, the initial mistake was the decision to invade, and then to invade with not enough troops to control the looting. And once we got there, essentially excommunicating a large percentage of the Iraqi population, the Sunnis, that certainly gave legs to the insurgency, also not reconstituting the military. And beyond that, we had we just couldn't establish a working communication system, which is strange because, we could communicate with Neil Armstrong on the moon. You would think we'd been able to communicate among each other in Iraq, and we didn't. And finally, I think we tried to make Iraq into a Jeffersonian democracy with a perfectly capitalist economy, and that just wasn't going to happen.
We also dissolved their army. Was that a mistake?
Absolutely. Most of the ordinary people in the army were clamoring to go back to work, and with decent leadership, they would have been a very stabilizing force. Instead, a lot of them ended up in the insurgency.
There's a new movie out. I was able to watch it a week or so ago called Shock and Awe, which talks about the Knight Ridder reporting that was done before the invasion of Iraq. Of course, Knight Ridder no longer really exists. They were absolved absorbed by McClatchy newspapers. But it's an interesting movie that basically the reporters were making a case that the White House was just manufacturing the whole thing of the search for weapons of mass destruction. Some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I must confess, I opposed the Iraqi invasion from the start, but I, along with most Americans, believed what was coming out of Washington about the nuclear weapons. And I think the intelligence community wasn't deliberately lying about it. It's just that there was enough evidence that Iraq had a nuclear program that they were able to piece together what the exiles, Ahmad Shalabi, told them, along with what they knew from the history of Iraq's efforts, and come to the conclusion that Iraq still had a nuclear program.
You look at Iraq now, it's pretty much a basket case, isn't it? Or how would you characterize Iraq?
Well, it's not as bad as it was when ISIS took Mosul. But at the same time, you have a government which is very sympathetic to Iran and which doesn't really control all of its territory. So it's I wouldn't call it a basket case, but I would say it's a long way from the ambitions we had for Iraq in 2003.
What are your friends telling you, your former State Department friends, about all the vacancies we hear that have been created since during the past 2 years of the Trump administration?
Well, morale is pretty low, obviously, because the White House has made it fairly clear that it doesn't value what the professional diplomats do. But at the same time, Secretary Pompeo has, at least taken some steps to breathe life back into the career service. So there are a lot of good people there. They're working hard, but State Department, it's going to take a long time for the State Department to recover, get back to the place where I would like to see it, a professional career service that does most of the implementation of foreign policy.
When will your book, From Sadat to Saddam, be out?
Well, I understand it will be out October 2019. I was kind of surprised at how long it takes. The manuscript is already in, but the publishing industry moves at its own pace.
All right.
Unless, of course, you're Bob Woodward.
Then you're certainly going to get a fast track, aren't you?
Indeed.
All right. David Dunford, thank you very much. Always a pleasure reconnecting with you. Thank you, Ambassador.
Great to talk to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Ambassador David Dunford had a long career in the Foreign Service, serving as ambassador to the Sultanate of Oman. Also, he was acting ambassador to Saudi Arabia. His book will be called Sadat to Saddam, A Chronicle of the Decline of American Diplomacy. Shelley Fishman is up next, but first I want to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Good time to go by Mona's for lunch. The bread that you will, your sandwich will be served on, came out of the oven a couple of hours ago, and wide variety of breads to choose from. So go to Mona's, check out my website, buckmastershow.com. It's a convenient place where all of our great sponsors have links, and all of our contributors, like Shelley Fishman, also, there's a link for Shelley. We'll be right back.
Neighborhood stalwarts. Virginia and Frank Butley are overjoyed when Tanya and Pablo Del Valle move into the fixer-upper next door. But opposing views about culture, politics, and landscaping push these well-meaning couples into a border battle. Don't miss Native Gardens, a laugh-out-loud, big-hearted comedy with a lot of sharp little teeth. September 8th through the 29th at the Temple of Music and Art. Tickets available at arizonatheater.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Also, our quarterly water update, Buckmaster noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, the voice with anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Here he is, Shelly Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelly, how are you, sir?
I am well, Bill, and just remembering September 11th.
I was going to start, actually, with that. It's one of those times that you remember pretty much if you were old enough. Some people, of course, as young kids may not remember, but the older we are, certainly those memories don't go away. As I was reflecting with Ambassador Dunford about, you know, time doesn't heal all in some cases, and I remember over at Channel 6 with the TV show, everybody was crying and going on. And I said, folks, I gathered all the team together and I said, you know, there'll be a time after the show is over that we can do our grieving. But right now we have an obligation to put a program on.
Absolutely. And of course, I'm from New York, New York City. And the apartment that I lived in and moved out of to come here to Tucson, I could see the World Trade Center from my windows. It just seemed so absolutely unbelievable that not that it could happen, but mm-hmm. that it was happening, that you could watch it happen, and that it was just clear that the tragedy, the personal tragedies involved, were things that we would never, ever forget.
You were in Palo Alto on business, and like many people, you had an airliner to catch that day,
right.
But of course that went out the window, so suddenly everybody was headed for the rental cars.
Yeah, exactly, and I wound up driving back to Tucson at the end of that week and never did get the business done that I needed to get done, but that day changed a lot of things for a lot of people. And of course, then everything the ambassador was saying, just what happened geopolitically in the world.
So we have a market that had kind of a tough week last week, but now has recovered a little bit today.
Yeah, today we're up about 140 points. I think the optimism in the market right now is reflecting the fact that Canada is back negotiating its inclusion into son of NAFTA or NAFTA 2.1 or whatever you want to call it. The last that I've heard was that there were just some things that Trudeau and the Canadians were just not going to sign up for. And that could be an impasse that is something we can't overcome. Keep in mind, Canada is our largest single trading partner, not counting the EU, which, of course, is multiple countries. Despite what the president says, we have a trade surplus with Canada. Not that it matters. But when you include both products and services, we have about an $8 billion annual trade surplus with Canada.
Let's talk a little bit about life insurance today. It's, you know, I see these ads on TV.
Yeah.
In fact, many people say we're being bombarded with life insurance ads. Let's try to separate some of the facts from the fiction.
Sure. Bill, I don't often yell at the television set,
but I do
when I see some of those ads. They come in four flavors. One is life insurance that you cannot be denied. That has a guaranteed price and a rate lock. That's one thing that really annoys me. Ads for selling your policy, as mm-hmm. if that were a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And then there are other ads that just talk about the fact that they go and get competitive bids as if that were a unique thing to do. So let's get a couple of things straight. First of all, if you are a healthy person at almost any age that might want life insurance, if your height and body weight are approximately appropriate, and if you're a non-smoker, you should never, ever think about getting a guaranteed issue policy because they are very, very expensive for obvious reasons. By the way, they're called guaranteed issue, but they're not guaranteed. There are several questions that you have to be able to respond to appropriately. Otherwise, you won't even get those policies.
What were those questions?
Typically, they focus around current cancer or dialysis. If you have any of those current medical problems, they're not going to issue you a policy. The other thing is you have to read the fine print, and it comes and goes very quickly on those television ads. $9.95 is your price, whether you're 60 years old, 70 years old, or 75 years old.
What do you get for $9.95?
Well, if you're at the minimum age for those kinds of policies, you might get $1,000 per unit. The unit is $9.95, and $1,000 is the amount of insurance. So the $9.95 will buy you $1,000 worth of insurance. You pay the $9.95 for the rest of your life. Pretty soon, you've used up the $1,000. By the way, that's $9.95 a month. Uh-huh. So you're paying $100 a year if you live 10 years. But nobody buys $1,000 worth. You buy $10,000. These are policies that are designed to take care of final expenses.
Mm-hmm.
But do not fall for those ads if you are. If you have any questions about whether you're insurable or not, you should be talking to a qualified insurance agent. Typically, I always recommend talk to a CFP, because if you're talking to a certified financial planner professional, you know they've got your best interests. They're required to have your best interests in mind, not the interests of the insurance company. So the first approach should be that. And the idea, and you hear this on television, there's a price lock. Well, you know, Bill, I have never seen a policy that didn't have a price lock. I assume there might be one or two out there, but price locks are what life insurance policies are all about. If you pay the premium that is your guaranteed premium, and if you pay it as long as you're supposed to be paying it, your price never changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way insurance works.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be confused by people who say, well, I've got a price lock, you know, and it's as good as the lock on the door.
Like I'm guaranteed.
Yeah, give me a break. That's that's kind of nonsense. One of the most damaging commercials that we have been seeing is for people who are advertising that you should be selling your policy to them if you no longer need your policy.
Really?
Now,
why would you do that?
A couple of things. Well, okay. If your policy has cash value, if the beneficiaries of your policy no longer need the proceeds of that policy, for instance, let's say you took that policy out in your 20s when you had kids and you know, you're working, and that policy was intended to protect the kids, protect your spouse from something bad that happens to you, then it might be that you don't need that policy anymore, and that the kids don't need the policy anymore because they're grown and they've got their own careers. The question is, what's the best way to turn in that policy? What's the best way to get rid of that policy? And it is rarely selling it. One of the best ways to get rid of the policy, quite frankly, is to take a look at the cash value. Take as much of the cash value as you can out of the policy, but keep the policy in force so that you never pay taxes on the money that you're borrowing essentially from yourself. And that normally comes out to be much better than simply selling the policy. When you sell the policy, what happens is you change the ownership of the policy to the company you're selling it to, and you change the beneficiary of the policy to the company that you're selling it to, and they simply wait for you to die.
So take the cash value
if
at
you
the
can.
Current time.
Do the math.
Yeah.
Don't just say, okay, this is great, this company sounds great, I'm going to sell the policy. It's up to you as an individual to do the math or work with your insurance provider to do the math with you. And you'll normally in the great majority of cases, it comes out that there are better ways to resolve that lack of need for insurance than to sell the policy. And the fourth thing that I find very alarming is companies that say you should get competitive bids, and we're the ones who do it for you. First of all, you should get competitive bids. And I don't know of any reputable insurance agent anymore who doesn't work with what's called a general agency and will get you five or six or seven bids that are from good reputable companies that specialize in the kind of insurance you might need. And these companies know which company is a kind of buy-in business this month and you know, work with people who might be a little overweight or work with people who might have a heart murmur or or with some other histories, maybe former smokers. So some companies are always buying that business, and you'll get a better bid from those companies. What you should never do, never, ever, 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 ever do, is walk into the offices of a company that is a life insurance company and simply buy their product without getting their agents to give you competitive bids. And if their agent refuses to do that, walk out and find another agent.
That's good information.
Yeah, buying insurance is like buying any other product in the marketplace. There are lots of choices that you have out there, lots of people who don't want you to take full advantage of those choices. And you need to educate yourself. It's a very often a lifetime decision, Bill, and you know, something you're going to be paying for a very, very long time. So do your work, do your research, work with a good professional, and ignore the TV ads.
There you go. Shelley Fishman, good information. Shelley, we can find out more about you at buckmastershow.com.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, actually. There's linkages to my website, linkages to your website. They can hear these shows, and if they have questions about them, get repeated.
But also,
they can send me an email, which I always respond to.
Thank you, Shelley.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. It is the Buckmaster Show on this, the 17th anniversary of the terror attacks on America, 9/11. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. It's an easy drive over there. And once you, we send so many of our listeners over there, and once they visit and they come back and they all say, I had a really great time. Didn't know that that area of southwest New Mexico was such a pretty area, with the Gila National Forest and the elevation anywhere from about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. Very pretty country, especially this time of year after the summer rains. So I would suggest going to southwestnewmexico.org, the starting place to find out about the great places to stay and really the many several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Additional support comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Jan and Jack, the owners, very excited about what's going on their 13 acres as they now have Zocalo, which for years was over by Country Club and Broadway with all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America and some European items. Now all of that merchandise and Zocalo has transitioned to the Green Things site. So that's exciting. So you can go by there, get all of your gardening supplies and some great items for the interior of your home. GreenThingsAZ.com. Norma Cable is with us. Norma is the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, the public relations and marketing specialist. Norma, always a pleasure. How are you?
Very good, and nice to see you, Bill. Thanks for having me here today.
It's always a pleasure, and we were everyone's kind of reflecting on where they were 17 years ago, and you were sharing an interesting story about, I believe, your nephew.
Mm-hmm. I was here home with our kids, but my nephew was due to work in those buildings that morning and had talked late on the phone with his girlfriend the night before and overslept, but nevertheless was so affected by, as we all were, by what was going on there. But luckily and fortunately not actually in that.
But he would have been if he had not overslept.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Another one of those twists of fate stories that we hear about. And luckily, in his case, he was not at the World Trade Center. We've got the Hunger Walk 2018. This is really, for the Community Food Bank, Norma, this is kind of the signature event, isn't it?
This is it, and we're days away, right? So it's Tuesday, and this is going to happen Saturday morning, and we're very excited. We are hoping to get 1,000 people out there, and that's both in Tucson and in Green Valley on Saturday. The walk itself starts at 8 a.m., but you can register right at 7 a.m. So we are really looking forward to this, and also about $35,000 away from our goal. So really hoping we get a lot of last minute people signing up to register. You can do that easily at communityfoodbank.org. You'll see the Hunger Walk page come up and you can just go there and sign up online. So we are so thankful for the support we receive, and this is our signature event. So we are working hard to make this a good event for people and to raise awareness about hunger overall in our community.
Let's talk about the starting place for the two locations for the Hunger Walk?
Sure. So in Tucson, we are starting from Sam Lena Park, and that's at the Keno Sports Complex. That's at Country Club and Ajo. And you know, Bill, that all we need to do then is head up Country Club a little ways, and we hit the main warehouse of the Community Food Bank. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is a great way for people to see up close just what we are dealing with and what we are doing in the fight against hunger in Southern Arizona. The scale of the operation often surprises people, that there is that big of a warehouse, that we are working assembly lines with volunteers every day, pushing out emergency food bags that are served to people who need them. And so that walkers there will continue on to the garden, where we do a lot of good work in teaching people how to grow their own food, in holding garden workshops. You know that gardening in Tucson and in Southern Arizona is a challenge, but we can do it. And the more connection we can get to growing fruits and vegetables in our own backyard, healthy, good food, we think it's very important. So you loop around, you go through the garden, you can buy some seedlings if you wish, get some free seeds, and then walk back up Country Club over back to Sam Lena Park, and then celebrate, have a light breakfast, enjoy some music, some entertainment, some prizes for some of the top teams. And that's in Tucson. And then at the same time going on in Green Valley, then that walk kicks off at La Posada, and walkers there have a great choice. They can choose to walk about a mile, which is the shorter route, or they can go the 2 miles, which is the longer route. And either way, you end up doing a great amount of good for your community. There are door prizes. There is music in Green Valley as well. And we're just very excited about this event. It is a great fundraiser for us, but it's also just a great show of support of people who care about hunger and what we can do about it together in Southern Arizona.
And you do need the funds. There's mm-hmm. no question. Absolutely. Because your need is really great, isn't it?
That's right. And is very high and hasn't diminished a lot lately.
Unfortunately.
That's true.
I mean, we'd love to say it's been the need has been going down, but that is not the case.
That's right. That's right. And we know that 81% of our budget comes from donations. So fundraisers like this are key. And it's a $25 fee to register for the walk for adults. Kids 6 to 12 years old are $10 each, and kids 5 and under are free. We want it to be a family-friendly, fun event. And we also, of course, welcome fundraising, welcome people inviting their coworkers and people, friends, their neighbors to form a team and make it an event that you can share. It becomes more fun that way, and also a great great contribution for our community.
The Community Food Bank was founded in 1976, that may seem like a long time ago, and it was. And the Community Food Bank was one of the first food banks, as I recall, in the country to be so honored with really helping our community, and has a great history. And you were mentioning the warehouse. I remember when that first was built, and I remember doing a TV story on that, and I was shocked how big mm-hmm. that warehouse is. Mm-hmm. But then again, the need is such that it needs to be that big.
Mm-hmm. And we know that it's very important that we're able to handle our operations out of that building.
You've got 5 counties.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And we need to be able to distribute the food to the 200,000 people that we serve every year with emergency food assistance. We also know that we don't want to view success as getting a bigger building, more trucks, more food, distributing more. We'd actually rather shorten the line and see fewer people needing the kind of help that they need. And that means taking a look at the root causes of poverty that go so often along with hunger. And so that is big work. And we can't do it alone. We are the Community Food Bank because we get support from people in terms of volunteers, in terms of donations, in terms of the walkers that are hopefully all going to turn out on Saturday morning and really say, this is an issue that matters to us and we want to do something about it.
And there's always a need, not only financially, but of course donations from mm-hmm. The food bank needs food.
That's right. Yeah. So monetary donations, mm-hmm. which we can take and stretch, because we know that each dollar donated to the Community Food Bank, we can turn into 4 meals because of our purchasing power, because we buy in bulk. Again, going back to the real size of the operation. But we also do appreciate every food drive and all the food that is brought to us in terms of donations around the community in the 5 counties that we serve. That's absolutely key in supporting the 300 partner agencies that we serve that are taking this food out across these 5 counties in Southern Arizona and distributing it to people who need it.
And these community gardens are great that we're seeing around town.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
People growing their own, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, we're very excited about that. And you know, Bill, that we have a great operation going at Las Milpitas mm-hmm. Community Farm, which is out on Silver Lake near A Mountain, where we offer small plots of land for people to come and learn how to garden. It's offered free of charge. We help you with setting up the water, with the finding plants that will grow, with all that kind of advice, and really encouraging people to see what they can do in a small garden plot to, again, make that connection to food that is healthy and full of nutrition and vitamins and so key and often not affordable when you are dealing with a low income, when you're a working family trying to make ends meet. The produce section isn't always that friendly of a place to shop in the supermarket.
It isn't, but there's something about when it's homegrown.
That's right.
It always seems to taste so good, whether it's a tomato or a zucchini.
So true.
It's really good. All right. In the remaining minute or so, let's give, again, the nuts and bolts about the Hunger Walk 2018, Norma.
Sure. We hope to see everyone out at Hunger Walk 2018. Two locations. You can go to Sam Lena Park at the Keno Sports Complex Saturday morning. You don't have to pre-register. You can sign up at communityfoodbank.org. The walk starts at 8 a.m. Registration opens at 7, and that will be going on simultaneously in Green Valley, starting at La Posada. So really encourage people to come on out and support us. Come on out and walk with us. It's a 2-mile walk in Tucson. It's either a 1 or 2 mile walk in Green Valley. So nothing too difficult and really a great show of support.
Great cause. Norma Cable, thank you for what you're doing at the Community Food Bank. Congratulations, your first year with the food bank. You're doing a terrific job. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
All right.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's time for our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report, presenting Grammy winner Macy Gray on September 24th. America first fell in love with Macy when she released her 1999 hit single, I Try. She's gone on as a gifted songwriter to write some terrific songs, so that's going to be a great show. Then on Thursday, September 27th, the Fox welcomes back singer and songwriter Amos Lee, known for powerful, deeply soulful songs and expert guitar work. Amos Lee is also beloved for his natural on-stage charisma and connection with the audience. The Fox Tucson Theater is hosting their biggest fall performance season to date. You can view the full schedule of the upcoming performances and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Margaret Regan is the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, and she also is one of our contributors here to the Buckmaster Show. And it's always a pleasure to welcome Margaret to the program. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. A lot of people reflecting on where they were 17 years ago with 9/11. Yes. How about you, your personal story?
My kids were in school then. They were still home. And I remember my husband woke me up and he said, you know, we're under attack. And my first thought was, where are the kids? You know, mm-hmm. Are they okay? I mean, it felt like World War III was starting.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
Very, very indelible memories, certainly, for a lot of us. Let's talk a little bit about the piece that you've got appearing in the Tucson Weekly. Really, it's coming up on Thursday, September the 13th. And one of the things you have loved since you began covering the arts, I think back in 1991, something like that. Is 1990, there you go. But you do love dance, and you love local dance. So you're talking about the Artifact Dance Project season opener.
Right, yeah, you know, this is a local troupe that, God bless them, they're now in their ninth season. It is not easy for a small dance company to survive. And yet they do very well. They have a very good audience base. One of the things they do that's different is they always have live music, which is a joy. You know, they're going to have in this upcoming concert, which takes place a week from now. I did the story a week early to give people a heads up. But they're going to have 7 musicians playing live for one piece, a quartet of graduate students in the music program at the U of A. And then for the other one, there'll be 7 musicians. So that's really a wonderful thing about them. And another thing that makes them a little different is they are very interested in narrative dance that tells stories. So the show coming up next week is based on Beguiled. I don't know if you saw that movie, Beguiled.
No, I didn't, but it looked intriguing.
Yeah, Sofia Coppola had a hit with it last year. The Civil War story, it's based on a novel back in 1966, and it was another movie with Clint Eastwood in it in 1971. So it's interesting. People keep going back to the same story. It's about a badly wounded Union soldier in the Civil War. He gets stranded in a remote girls' school in enemy territory, and it kind of turns into this Southern Gothic story when they have complete control over him because he's a badly wounded soldier. But then the balance of power shifts as the story goes on. It goes back and forth between the women and the girls and the male prisoner. It's very sort of eerie and different. So Claire Hancock, who's one of the directors of the company, happened to see that movie last fall. And she said, oh, it struck her immediately as something that would work with dance because so much of it was about body language and the dialogue was scarce. So now this story has already been 3 times, booked twice in a movie. Now we will have it as a dance right here in Tucson.
What is the venue and what are the dates?
It's at Stevie Eller Theater, and it's next week, Thursday through Sunday, September 20th to the 23rd.
All right, and that's a great venue, of course, on the University of Arizona campus. You're also writing for an upcoming weekly about visual art.
Yeah, I'm going out today. I don't know whether you saw our gigantic fall arts preview several weeks ago.
I did.
My goodness, we used to have more limits on how many words we could do, but we really just went all out this time and tried to put in as many events as we could. And gosh, the roster for the visual arts this fall is pretty amazing. But so today, I'm going out to see two of those shows. Both of them are downtown. One's in the Temple of Music and Art, and the other one is at the main library, the Joel Valdez Main Library, which does a great job with art exhibitions. So the one at the library is a painter named Tim Mossman, and he's been one of my favorite painters for a long time. He does these just beautiful abstracts. A lot of them are lines and curves, and he does big paintings and small ones. He had a wonderful show at the Temple, actually, a few years ago that I have to say is one of my all-time favorites in all my many years of covering the arts. He's great with color, and it's of interest to me because he has just only recently retired from the Center for Creative Photography, where he was one of the staff people and, you know, spent a whole career working with the mostly black and white photographs there. So in his art, he's the opposite, just a wonderful color. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And then the other show is really interesting. This one is at the Temple of Music and Art. Doug Nielsen, who is actually a retired UA professor of dance, I think you've probably seen him or heard of him over the years. He danced at one time in his life with the very prestigious Bat Shiva Dance Company in Israel. Really interesting, innovative troupe. Well, the guy who was the director of that troupe many years ago is an American citizen named Paul Sanisardo. And before he became a really prominent person in dance leading that company, he went to the Art Institute of Chicago to become a painter. And he's now almost 90 years old, and in his retirement he has been painting. And Doug Nielsen has managed to put together a show of his paintings at the Temple of Music and Art. And what they're like is they're like early modernism. They're like something you might see in the 40s or 50s, because that's when this man was painting at that time. Figurative, but very simple. I haven't seen them yet, but I've seen the pictures of them. So that should be really interesting, you know, abstraction of today. I'm going to write about that, Tim Mossman, and then write about this other man who is just so interesting, this, you know, whole life working with the body. He has a lot of figurative paintings.
Only have a couple of minutes left. What were some of the highlights you thought about in that fall arts preview? As you say, it was quite a large work this year.
Yeah. Well, I think one show that's going to be really popular is already up at Etherton Gallery, and, you know, they always do a great job. You probably remember years ago a photograph on National Geographic. It was the most famous cover National Geographic ever had, a portrait of a young girl in Afghanistan, and it was called Afghan Girl. She had these piercing green eyes and a red veil over her head. I mean, it's one of the most widely known photographs in modern times. Well, the photographer of that picture is having this major show at Etherton, and Terry Etherton says that the man, his name is Steve McCurry. He's recently moved to Tucson.
Wow.
So good for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anyway, he had a whole career, and as far as I know, he's still working, did these intensely colored photographs of life in Asia and in the Middle East in particular. You know, a real globe-trotting artist. So that's up already. And then the other show, the other artist being shown at Etherton is a Japanese man, Takeshi Ishikawa. And this is something I don't know anything about. He has spent a lifetime doing, among other things, making photos of a transgender community in India. It's called Ihra something like that. Huh? And I guess he has all these photos of, you know, and it's just an accepted thing that, that there's this group of people that are transgender, and he has spent many years photographing them.
All right. Yeah. Margaret Regan, we will look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Grammy Award winner Macy Gray on September the 24th. Coming up on Sunday, September 30th, gather the whole family to see the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater. Moscow's circus veteran Gregory Popovich will present a unique blend of comedy, juggling, and amazing animal antics of his shelter-rescued pet performers. That's going to be fun. This fall, the Fox Tucson Theater hosting their biggest performance season to date, including Macy Gray, September 24th, Amos Lee, September 27th, and the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater, September 30th. To view the full schedule, go to foxtucson.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I want to remind you our local programming resumes tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ray Allen, 1204. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.